This morning's first scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. "Can I not do that with you, O house of Israel? Just as the potter has done, says the Lord. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have two scriptures in our second reading. One from Proverbs, and as we continue on with our Lord's Prayer series, part of the Lord's Prayer. From Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge God, for he will surely make straight your paths." And from Matthew 6, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, those words from Proverbs get us an idea of some good advice, but Eugene Peterson, who is a great biblical scholar and translator, wrote a paraphrase of the Bible, which means putting it more in everyday language, called The Message. If you ever want to read the Bible and you get yourself started and you think, you know, this is a great sleeping aid, you want to try The Message. I have a copy if you want to borrow it in my office. So hear these words from that wisdom book, Proverbs, from The Message. "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Try not to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. God is the one who will keep you on track." And these words summarize what Jesus was talking about when he taught the disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." You know, there was once a great psychologist, Lucy. You might know her from the Peanuts comic strip and her little tin cup. And she was talking to Charlie Brown, and she was philosophizing about life. And she said, you know, life is like a deck chair on a cruise ship. Some people like to face their deck chair to where they've been. And some people like to face their deck chair to where they are now. And some people like to face their deck chair to where they're going. Where do you like to put your deck chair, Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown sighed and he said, "I'm still trying to unfold my deck chair." Is there anyone here today who can identify with Charlie Brown? You can't get your deck chair to unfold. Even more important, is there anyone here who has felt that life has not unfolded as it should? By this time, you wanted to be in a certain place in your life, and it hasn't happened. You thought by this time you'd have enough money to retire, or perhaps you thought you would be in better health, or you never expected to be alone without a partner. You see, all of us have plan A for our lives. But most of us are working on plan C, D, E, F. And sometimes an interruption comes into our life that changes the direction of our life. Or maybe it forces us to rethink things and we decide to make a change. Has your dream ever been interrupted? Have you ever had to make a course correction due to some unforeseen event or obstacle? I remember a man in one of my former churches who had his life interrupted. Scott was a terrific young man. He was very energetic. He had a lovely wife. He had two amazing children who got straight A's. They were well-mannered. They were fun. I mean, he was a well-respected elder in the church treasurer. He was in his early 30s. He was living his plan A. And things were going along nicely. And then he was diagnosed with brain cancer. Suddenly, his life, as he knew it, was put on hold while he took treatments, went to doctors, and time was spent at home and in the hospital recovering. His plan A went out the window. Gerald was another person who had his life interrupted. He had a serious problem with alcohol abuse, but he didn't think so. One day, he was returning late home from work after stopping at a local place and having a few drinks and a few more, and he had a bit of a shock. Not only was his lovely wife waiting for him at home, so were his two daughters, who were supposed to be in college, and some of his neighbors, his friends, and coworkers. And before he could think, they told him how much he meant to them and how worried they were about what his drinking was doing to him. To his credit, Gerald listened, and he went into rehab that day. He's been sober for many, many years. Have you ever had an interruption to your life that changed everything? The word interruption comes from the Latin root meaning literally to break into. An interruption means that something breaks into your life. And it does not have to be a negative, downward disruption. It just means that the pattern of your life has changed. A new chapter has begun. Sometimes for the better, as Gerald will tell you. And sometimes it's totally unwanted and unwelcome, but we have to deal with it. Jesus was interrupted very often by people wanting a piece of him, a slice of his time. The Gospels show us how Jesus dealt with interruptions. He stopped, and he ministered to those people who interrupted him. But I think many of us don't like to be interrupted. We don't like it when we are at home and the phone rings and it's phone solicitations. You know, in my house, when we see that come up, you know, potential spam, it's like 1-800-FORGET-IT. But our daughter Anna, in her teens, had a brilliant solution. She used to pick up the phone and then start asking them if they had given their life to Jesus. She then would start quoting scripture to them. And you know what? They hated being interrupted and they hung up. You know, whether we like it or not, whether we expect them or not, interruptions do happen. And when they happen, we have two choices of how to deal with it. We can go down the road of stubbornness, or we can go down the road of surrender. If we go down the road of surrender, we say, you know, God, I am not sure this is what I was looking for, but what you want is more important than what I want. Sometimes we realize that interruptions was God's way of getting our attention. And most of us, however, to be frank, we like to take the road of stubbornness. My will, my own, mine, mine, only mine. I know what I need, and I know when I want it. And what God wants is not even on the radar screen. And the only time we're going to check in with God is when things start to go badly. But think about this. Sometimes an interruption is a moment of grace, a time when God has a chance to break into your life because you're sort of off balance and open and vulnerable. Maybe the interruptions involve terrible suffering, and it's hard to understand how any good can come of it. Sometimes there is no good. There's only redemption, the situation. God can break into our life and bring something better than what we have. And sometimes God can break into our life and lift us out of something terrible and make something incredible out of our grief and suffering. Believing in God is not a ticket to ultimate happiness all the time. Jeremiah was a prophet of Israel in the 6th century BC, and he was frustrated that the people of Israel were not surrendering their lives to God. And he became even more frustrated and horrified when they were defeated in battle and made slaves by the Babylonians and dispersed all over the ancient world. But one day he had a revelation. He was watching a potter at work with clay in his workshop. And the potter was making a pot. And when he was nearly finished, it started wobbling and it just collapses. And that was it. It was broken. Well, the potter just remoistened the clay and started over again and made a pot more beautiful than the one that had broken. Jeremiah's flash of insight was that Israel was like the clay in the potter's hands. Perhaps Israel is in the hand of God, the Creator. And it could be reworked out of its current broken situation into something more beautiful than what had been. And just as the clay from the broken pot was reworked into something whose beauty exceeded the original pot, maybe the same thing is happening in your life. God is taking the broken, ruined bits of your life and is molding it and you into something more beautiful. Which is not say, please don't get the idea that, well, God creates tragedy or allows it to happen so that, no, God just takes the tragedy and does something with it. So maybe God has a plan for where your life is right now, and it's a good one. And it can take all your loose ends, all your broken bits and missing bits, and make something more beautiful. This is what Jesus had in mind when he taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember that Jesus told us that the kingdom of heaven is right now and is in each of us. What he was saying is that the kingdom of God is the place where the will of God is done as much on earth as it is in heaven. So when you're doing loving, just, compassionate, uplifting things, that's the heaven, kingdom of God breaking in. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we are asking for the road of surrender. We're asking for our lives to be in tune with God's will for our lives. You know, but sometimes the clay of our spirit, of our lives, gets too thin to support the will of God. And God interrupts us and starts over in some part or all of our life. And I know that in our current age, we don't like to hear that we are not here to be entertained by God. We are here to be molded into working vessels. We are here to be of service to God and to each other. We are here to be conduits of the living water of God's Spirit to thirsty people. So when we talk about evangelism and outreach, what we're saying is we need to discern, does this person need a drink from the cup of forgiveness? Does this person need a piece of the bread of life? We're not here to make up numbers in the church. That's not what God blesses. We're here to be of service. Do they need something that we, as Christians, know that we could give? Or we know someone who could? Or we know some organization that could, or a group of people? And an interruption came into the life of the actor James Earl Jones. Oh, I just love his voice. Think of the voice of Darth Vader in Star Wars, or Mufasa in The Lion King. Think of the character of Terrence Mann in Field of Dreams, that great baseball movie. His deep voice is one of the most recognized in our country, but it almost never happened. James Earl Jones was afflicted by a speech impediment, a really severe one. When he went to a speech therapist, he said to James Earl Jones, "You have a future with that voice." And James Earl Jones just stuttered, I'd be happy to have a conversation. The therapist taught him to deepen and resonate his voice and speak slower. Isn't that amazing? An interruption to led James Earl Jones to an acting career. And working on the stage and in film had been the farthest thing from his mind. He would have told you at that time that was just ridiculous. But sometimes, out of painful trials, God works God's will of redemption. And something more beautiful than the original is created. I was lucky enough to go to Rome twice, each time that I recovered from cancer about 25 years ago. And each time I went into St. Peter's to see the beautiful Pietà that was crafted by Michelangelo. It's a statue of Mary holding the dead body of Jesus in her lap. And the awesome thing about the piece is that Jesus looks so dead and limp, and Mary seems so alive, as if she could just push a wayward lock away from Jesus' face at any moment. Michelangelo was about 19 when he created the Pietà. He found a discarded piece of marble that was considered trash, no good for anything. He was too young and too poor to afford good pieces of marble, and so he worked on discarded pieces. And one day he was studying this huge chunk of marble and deciding what he was going to do with it, and he suddenly saw in it the face of Jesus and the figure of Mary. He saw a snapshot of redemption history when Jesus was taken down from the cross, and Mary, his mother, was holding Jesus' body as only a mother would. Michelangelo began chiseling away at the marble until he said he had taken away everything that was not Jesus or Mary. And he said, the more I worked on it, the more the figure wanted to surrender to me. The Pietà is a masterpiece made from discarded, unwanted material. And it depicts the moment before God picked up the broken body of Jesus and created something beautiful, risen Savior, who holds open the door of life for you and me, not just eternally, but right now. God is still working in the world and in your life and mine. And we are God's masterpieces. We are not perfect yet. God still has some work to do on us. But we are going to be a masterpiece if we can walk down the road of surrender. It's a hard road to walk down sometimes, so ask for God's help. Pray as Jesus taught us. First, God, not what I want, but what you want, which he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then, as he taught his disciples, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.